But and then it was over, essentially. You know, again, the rain stopped the next day. The water went down. But the excavations were done. It was the end of the season, but we had to dry out. And this is, so we were in, I mean, we spent that night on the night of the Coldfoot Visitor Center floor. You know, it was a one-room log cabin, essentially, and everyone was piled in there. And then it was the Park Service. You know, you become friends with everybody up there. You know everybody. The Park Service ranger at that time, I can't recall his name at the top of my head. The Park Service had brand new facilities at that time. Nice homes, houses built there, which is the same two that are still there now. But they were brand new at that time in 94. And we spent that second and third night essentially, you know, on the floors of all of the bedrooms and the garages, the whatever, the Park Service facilities. And that was before BLM had built any of its facilities, so we had nothing BLM to go to. And we actually never did drive out of Coldfoot. We were 3 or 4 days over. You know, people were missing their flights and stuff. At that time, you know, we were now back at the town site and in some regard finishing up, backfilling, putting the dirt back in the excavations and, you know, finishing up. And I was in contact with John Cook again, and he said, and I got a phone call with him that, you know, it's like, can you leave in the hour? And I was like, no, I can't leave in the hour. It's impossible. I don't even know where everybody is. You know, they're spread up at Marion Creek or the visitor center or the Park Service facilities. I mean, I don't know where everybody is. Can you do it? Can you be ready in 4 hours? 3 or 4 hours? I was like, good grief, you know. I will not be able to put the dirt back in the foundation. It's like an ethical rule in archaeology. You don't leave in your open excavation. You have to put the dirt back. People will fall into it. People will whatever, you know. And I said, hey, I won't be able to backfill. That's going to take a full day. And he's like, good. I'm going to send an Alaska Fire Service airplane, basically, to go get you guys. And there was one essentially already in the air in the vicinity up at Fort Yukon to the east. And I don't know what it had been doing, dropping off, picking something up. So it was already essentially eating up fuel. So he diverted that airplane. I wish I knew the model and whatever type it was, but I'm not into airplanes like that. It's one where the tail of the back opens up and smoke jumpers jump out, you know, to do their thing. And so we were able to, you know, quickly pull it together in 3 hours, get everything, all the gear, everyone's tents, everything at, you know, ready to the Coldfoot airstrip. And then the plane landed, and we all jumped aboard, and it was a quick one-hour flight or less back to Coldfoot, you know, back to Fairbanks, as opposed to that nine-hour bumpy, dusty ride. And anyway, that's always my memorable story about Coldfoot. It was the 100-year flood, literally.